Here are some notes on achieving natural conversational English for the TTS script. 1. Disfluencies. These are natural breaks or fillers in speech. Don't overuse them, especially as the hosts are knowledgeable, but sprinkle them in naturally, perhaps more at the start or when thinking. Fillers. Example. So the main issue seems to be a filled pause in connectors, like, you know, sort of, kind of, I mean, well, so, actually, example, it's like a really complex situation, you know, example, well, I mean, the data seems to suggest. 2, sentence fragments and restarts. People don't always speak in perfect sentences. They start, stop, and rephrase. Example, the process involves, well, it's about bringing both sides together. Example, they need to understand their rights and what the options are, basically. 3, interruptions and overlapping. Conversations evolve back and forth, sometimes cutting each other off slightly or finishing thoughts. Use the alternating line structure for this, example, host speaker, and that really highlights the importance of expert speaker. Of privacy, exactly, host speaker. Yeah, privacy for both the employee and expert speaker. And the employer's reputation, right? 4, back-channeling affirmations, short responses to show listening and agreement. Examples, right, okay, yeah, makes sense, exactly, got it. Example, expert speaker, which can make the whole process faster. Host speaker, right, okay, expert speaker, and often less costly too, host speaker. Makes sense. 5, contractions. Use standard contractions freely. It's don't, can't, that's their example. It's not always easy, but that's where ADR can help. 6, informal phrasing and colloquialisms. Use sparingly for professional tone. Phrasing that's more common in speech than formal writing. Example, so what's the deal with arbitration then? Use cautiously depending on desired formality. Example, it boils down to finding common ground. Example, let's dig into that a bit. 7, hedging. Softening statements when expressing opinions or uncertainty. Examples, it seems like perhaps, maybe you could be sort of, kind of. Example, it seems like mediation offers a bit more flexibility, perhaps. 8, tag questions. Adding a short question at the end of a statement to seek confirmation. Example, that process is confidential, isn't it? Mm-hmm. 9, direct address, implicit. While not directly addressing each other by name, the flow should imply they're speaking to each other. Questions and responses create this. 10, varying sentence length. Mix shorter, punchier lines with longer, more explanatory ones. Example, multi-turn snippet.
Okay, so you've brought in some really interesting sources on employment termination disputes.
Yeah, specifically looking at cases, you know, where discrimination might be involved. It's a tough area.
Really tough. And the goal today is basically to pull out the key insights, right? Give folks a handle on it.
Exactly. Because these situations, they can get messy, really negative impacts for everyone if not handled well. Litigation isn't always the answer.
Right, and that's where this ADR thing comes in, alternative dispute resolution.
Precisely. Yeah, the sources really point towards things like mediation and arbitration as maybe a better path, fairer, possibly more efficient.
Makes sense. Let's dig into that. English notes. Welcome to this deep dive. You've brought us some really valuable material this time, all focused on navigating those tricky waters of employment termination disputes.
Yeah, especially when discrimination is alleged.
Yeah.
It's a really sensitive area.
Definitely. So our goal here is, well, to extract the most critical knowledge from these sources you shared, help everyone get a clear understanding of how to effectively handle these situations.
Absolutely. And as your sources really highlight, these aren't just, you know, minor disagreements. They can have significant negative repercussions.
For both sides, right. Employers and employees.
Exactly. And when you add in the complexities of potential discrimination, well, finding fair and less damaging paths to resolution becomes even more critical than just heading straight into long legal battles.
Right. And what's really striking, I thought, in your sources is the emphasis on alternative dispute resolution, ADR.
Uh-huh.
It looks like methods such as mediation and arbitration offer a particularly promising route here.
Yeah, the potential seems to be there for, well, not only fairer outcomes, but definitely more efficient ones compared to traditional lawsuits.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. What exactly are we talking about when we say employment termination dispute?
Okay, so in essence, these are disagreements that pop up when an employment relationship ends. Your sources detail various forms, like claims of wrongful termination.
Which means being fired for an illegal reason, basically.
Right, like discrimination or maybe breaking a contract. It also covers allegations of discrimination rooted in bias against, you know, protected characteristics, and even broader claims of just unfair treatment at work.
And the stakes in these disputes can be incredibly high, can't they? It's much more than just a disagreement.
Oh, precisely. For employers, these disputes can mean, Well, significant financial hits.
Yeah.
Not just legal costs and settlements, but damage to their reputation, employee morale.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And for employees, the impact can be truly life-altering. We're talking career setbacks, serious emotional distress, financial instability. It's major.
Your sources also make a point to mention the anti-discrimination laws. It's a good reminder, I think, of the protections that are supposed to be in place.
Yes, exactly. These laws are, you know, the bedrock for fairness in the workplace.
Yeah.
Their whole purpose is to shield people from prejudice and unequal treatment. The sources you provided underscore categories like race, gender, religion, sexual orientation, age, disability, pregnancy. These are commonly protected characteristics. But of course, as we know, interpreting and actually applying these laws in specific situations, that can get quite complex.
Okay, so the potential impact is clear, which brings us back to why ADR, particularly mediation and arbitration, is being presented as such a valuable approach for these really sensitive discrimination-related claims. What makes it so well-suited?
Well, what's fascinating here is how well ADR seems to align with the core needs in these disputes. Your sources consistently highlight things like neutrality, privacy, and fairness as key pluses.
Right.
Unlike litigation, you know, where parties often end up in this public battle, ADR offers a more controlled and, importantly, confidential space for resolution.
That makes a lot of sense. Having that neutral third party involved must really change the dynamic, the whole tone of the conversation.
Absolutely. Mediators and arbitrators, they're specifically trained to navigate these sensitive issues impartially. Their job is to foster an environment of respect where both sides feel they can actually say their piece, you know, without that immediate fear of judgment.
Which must be huge for an employee who feels they haven't been heard.
Exactly. That neutrality gives them a chance for their voice to be taken seriously by someone unbiased. Often that's the very first step toward finding any kind of resolution.
And the privacy element keeps coming up. Seems like a really significant benefit here.
It really is. For employees who feel they've been treated unfairly, privacy offers, well, a vital layer of protection. Protection from more harm or unwanted public attention.
And for the employer.
Equally critical, potentially. It helps safeguard their reputation, especially when dealing with sensitive allegations that could be really damaging if aired in a public trial.
Okay, let's really dig into these ADR methods now. Let's start with mediation. How does that generally work in a termination dispute context?
So mediation, as your sources lay it out, is fundamentally a voluntary process and collaborative. The key element is that neutral mediator.
Right, the facilitator.
Exactly. Their role isn't to decide anything, but to help the communication flow, help the parties explore different solutions, and, you know, guide them towards an agreement they can both accept. It really emphasizes open dialogue and finding creative ways to solve the actual problems.
So it's less about who's legally right or wrong and more about finding a path forward everyone can live with.
Precisely. In termination disputes, mediation provides this structured but still confidential setting. Both the employer and the employee can share their side of the story, their perspectives, what they actually need. This confidential chat can be incredibly valuable for building some mutual understanding, even if it doesn't immediately lead to a deal.
Can you maybe paint a picture for us? What might a mediation outcome look like? Say, in a case where discrimination is part of the claim.
Sure. Let's imagine a scenario. Maybe an employee believes they were let go because of their age. Through mediation, a possible outcome could involve, say, financial compensation for the employee.
Yeah.
Cover lost wages, emotional impact, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But the resolution might go beyond just money. The employer could also agree to implement company-wide training, perhaps on diversity and inclusion, or maybe revise their internal anti-discrimination policies.
Ah, I see.
So that kind of resolution doesn't just address the one grievance. It can actually contribute to a better workplace environment overall. Potentially stop similar issues down the line.
That's a really good example because it shows how mediation can lead to these broader, more forward-looking solutions. Okay, let's switch gears now. Arbitration. How's that different from the more collaborative feel of mediation?
Right. Arbitration is definitely more formal, more structured type of ADR. Instead of a mediator guiding a chat, you have a neutral arbitrator, sometimes even a panel of them, and they function more like a private judge, essentially. Mm-hmm. They review the evidence both sides present. They listen to legal arguments, and then they issue a binding decision. That's called the award.
So, still a neutral party, but less about finding common ground and more about getting a decision made for you.
That's a key difference, yes. While arbitration also aims for efficiency compared to court, it includes procedural safeguards, kind of like the court system, to ensure fairness.
Uh-huh.
And as your sources point out, it's often significantly faster than going through the courts, which means potential savings in time and money for everyone.
And those advantages we talked about earlier for discrimination cases like the private forum, do they still apply in arbitration?
Absolutely. Arbitration maintains that crucial private setting. It keeps sensitive allegations out of the public eye, protecting reputations. Plus, arbitrators in employment cases often have specific expertise in employment law.
Ah, specialists.
Yeah, their specialized knowledge lets them focus on applying the right legal principles and making sure the process is fair based on those rules.
The fact that the arbitrator's decision is binding, that seems like a really big deal for actually ending the dispute.
It is. It's huge. Once the arbitrator issues that award, it's legally final. It's enforceable. That provides a sense of closure and certainty that can be really hard to get in ongoing litigation. It stops the prolonged conflict and lets people move on.
And like with mediation, is there still room for tailored solutions in arbitration, or is it just about the money?
No, there's flexibility there too. Arbitration allows for various remedies beyond just cash. An arbitrator could potentially order reinstatement of the employee, or recommend specific changes to workplace policies, or mandate other actions designed to fix the specific issues raised in the dispute.
Interesting. Now, one of the sources you shared specifically mentioned the American Arbitration Association, the AAA. What's their role in all this?
Yeah, the AAA is, well, a major player. They're a leading provider of specialized employment arbitration services. Their main focus is on bringing expertise, accessibility, and efficiency to the whole process. And as your source knows, they have specific employment arbitration rules designed precisely for fairness and efficiency in these kinds of disputes.
And the stats you pulled from that source about the AAA are pretty compelling. Over 4,000 employment cases filed in 2024, median time from filing to an award just over 16 months. That sounds way faster than court.
It generally is. And that shorter time frame, it translates into real savings. Not just money, but also easing the emotional burden these disputes take. The source also highlights the AAA's impressive roster, nearly 900 arbitrators specializing in all sorts of employment law, including discrimination.
Wow, that's a lot of expertise. And they mention an AI-enhanced search process. That sounds pretty advanced.
It is. It's about using technology to match the parties with arbitrators who have the most relevant experience for their specific case. The idea is to ensure the highest quality and fairness possible.
Accessibility is also key, right?
Yeah.
It's good to hear they consider the financial burden, especially for the person bringing the claim.
Yes. The AAA has structured its fees to be pretty reasonable, with a relatively modest filing fee for claimants. And importantly, they offer hardship waivers for people who meet certain financial criteria. So money shouldn't necessarily block access to this resolution path.
And that statistic about early resolution in AAA cases is really striking. 76% settling before a final award in 2024. And a good chunk of those settling even before the arbitrator gets paid.
Yeah, that figure really underlines how effective arbitration, especially within the AAA framework, can be at encouraging early resolution. It minimizes expenses for everyone. It strongly suggests the process itself, even before you get to a binding decision, pushes parties towards meaningful talks and often negotiated settlements.
So putting this all together, what are the key takeaways? What recommendations would you offer to employers and employees facing these kinds of termination disputes?
Okay, well, for employers, the sources really stress being proactive. Create ADR-friendly workplace policies. That means clearly putting mediation and arbitration clauses in employment contracts.
And making sure employees actually know about them.
Exactly. Educating employees about these options and how they work is crucial.
And what about for the employees themselves, if they find themselves in this situation?
For employees, it's really vital to understand their rights, first and foremost, but also to recognize the potential advantages that ADR methods, like mediation and arbitration, can offer, especially before jumping into what could be a very long, very expensive court battle.
And it seems like a common thread is the importance of getting experienced professionals involved in the ADR process itself.
Absolutely critical. Engaging ADR professionals, mediators, arbitrators who specialize in employment disputes is key. It helps build trust between the parties and ultimately helps achieve outcomes that are fair and actually workable in the long run. Their expertise in both the law and the sort of human dynamics involved can make a huge difference.
Okay, so to wrap it up, it sounds like the main message here is that these alternative methods, ADR, particularly mediation and arbitration, they offer some really significant advantages over going the traditional court route, especially for employment terminations involving discrimination claims.
That's precisely it. We've seen how they can potentially lead to quicker resolutions, lower costs overall, much greater privacy for everyone involved, and maybe most importantly, outcomes that can address the underlying issues more completely. More satisfactorily, perhaps, than just a court judgment.
So for you, our listener, maybe take a moment to think about the wider implications here. How could these ADR processes contribute to a more just and efficient way of resolving workplace conflicts? What role might mediation and arbitration play in shaping the future of how employers and employees interact, maybe moving us away from purely adversarial fights? Definitely something to mull over. Thanks for diving deep with us today.